Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Fellas, I actually had some homework over the weekend that I spent several hours on Saturday and Sunday, and I wanted to just briefly share the story because it was very inspiring for me.
Did you do your own three-round mock draft too, NFL mock draft?
You know, I'm going to get to that. Trust me, I'm trying to save that for a rainy day.
That was my homework.
Well, maybe we can go over that. but I was, you guys remember last year, I was lucky enough to be asked to MC the 35th anniversary of the Hispanic Development Fund's their gala that they had at the President Hotel, which shout out to the wonderful people at the President downtown. And so, and they asked me to do this because I'm an alum. I received a scholarship from the Hispanic Development Fund back when I was a young man. And I did it at the behest of, I applied at the behest of my mother, who was just on me. And shockingly, a young Stephen was not interested in applying for scholarships. And I was, you know, I kind of get this from my son sometimes. Oh, I'm not going to get it anyway. You know, what does it matter? You know, Mr. Bad Attitude over here. And so I remember her just on me. She goes, you know what? Will you just write the essay? Would you just, for me, Stephen, please write the essay. Why won't you? I'm going to call your dad. I said, well, call him. But I'm not, that intimidation factor is not what it used to be, Mom, because he's in Leavenworth. And so you can't call him over here. She goes, oh, that's right. I'll call your grandpa, your Uncle Richie instead. I said, okay. You're going to call my grandpa now. Then it was talking.
Uh-oh.
Because I did not ever need my grandfather to be disappointed in me. All right? I was a Mexican Eddie Haskell. I'd go over there, and, you know, I was Steve-O. Steve-O did everything. Steve-O got good grades. Steve-O wasn't playing grab ass all the time.
They didn't believe your mom when they'd tell the story.
Right.
About, no, not Steve-O.
Well,
no.
My grandma goes, no. No.
Yeah.
You know, Steven stayed out late last night, and when he came home, he had beer on his breath. No! No! Not my Steve-O. I go, that's right, Grandma. Who are you going to believe, me or my mom? She believed me. God, I was such a horrible kid. But the point is, when she went to my, I'm going to call my grandfather. Like, no, please.
Yeah, I got your attention,
right.
Didn't it?
I'm going to write the essay. I don't need Danny and Augie out in KCK to be disappointed in me, because there was nothing worse than to get that phone call, you know? And hear, because my grandpa really didn't get mad. He would get disappointed.
He'd get quiet.
And, oh, mijo, I'm disappointed in you. Like, oh, Jesus. That would yell at me, Grandpa. Do something. Scream at me. Do anything. Don't tell me you're disappointed in me. So I wrote the essay, and because my mom was way smarter than I did, I ended up getting a scholarship, long story short. And so that's why I was involved in the 35th anniversary gala for the Hispanic Development Fund. And so I had agreed to go and help grade some essays and applications, and we were all going to do it there at the offices, and it's going to take 3 or 4 hours. And that night that we had planned on doing that was postponed because of everything with the coronavirus. But they still figured out a way to do it, and with the software and everything else, where we could all get all the information and the essays and the applications digitally, and we could all take our time and read through the essays and grade those and read through the applications and grade everything. And so I took that really serious because I've been in that situation where I needed a scholarship to help me go to school. And there's a plenty of kids that are in a much worse situation than I was, but I still needed it. But let me tell you guys something. So I spent several hours on Saturday and Sunday reading through, and all these kids are deserving. All these kids are worthy. I mean, all of them. But some of the essays that I wrote, and the two things you focus on, you know, community involvement and community service, and they detail all that, and they write about why that's important to them, and what's been meaningful about their community service, and then they have another essay question that they write about. I'm going to tell you, man, that gave me so much inspiration and so much hope, because most of these kids have already done more than I have, and I'm 47. And just the ideas that they have and some of the things that they want to do, and I'm and everyone's got like a 3.9, a 3.8, and a 4.0, and you look at their transcripts and see all the grades and all their ideas and what they want to accomplish with life. And then there were some kids that didn't have the best grades, kind of like me, but wrote these unbelievably in-depth and thoughtful essays about what they would, you know, if they were given an opportunity to give back to the community and do things in the future and lay the groundwork for people coming, you know, in the years after them, you know, what would they do to reinvest in the community, things like that. And it was so, I mean, I just keep going back to inspirational, how impressive some of the young kids that I read about and read essays from, some of the young kids in our area, in schools all over the metro, a lot of schools from KCK, a lot of schools from KCMO, all over the place, and it was something that I really needed. And so I was very. And our friend David Ochoa, Nate Bucati, he's going to come on the show I think on Friday to just kind of talk about this and let people know that hey, they're still working hard to make sure that these worthy kids get scholarships, because that, you know, the schooling's not going to stop. That's not going to stop, and we can't let anything slip through the cracks, because, you know, making sure that deserving kids that want the opportunity still have the opportunity to further their education and to pursue all their dreams. And he also said if we let him come on to talk about Hispanic Development Fund, he will also be happy to tell more stories about playing for Mark Mangino.
Yes,
so I thought
yes.
that you would sign up for that. That's exactly. He offered it. He said that. He goes, "Hey, I'd love to come on and talk about what we're doing, and also I'll share some Mark Mangino stories, because for David Ochoa, who is the head of the Hispanic Development Fund now, he was also an all-conference offensive lineman for Mark Mangino."
And okay, so, well, good night.
Right. And I feel like if I can get Mangino stories on the air, I mean,
I wonder if you ever played them in racquetball.
You know, I can still play a pretty mean game of racquetball.
I don't know about that. That is not. He's the executive director of the Hispanic Development Fund, but nowhere in his bio does it say that he played racquetball with Mark Mangino.
You know, I can still play a pretty mean game of racquetball.
Pure speculation.
You put that at the top of the list. If that was on, if you had a chance to put that on your resume,
right.
It's going up there.
Unless you lost, then you want to bury that as much as possible. But anyway, so I just wanted to share that. It was just a couple of hours, and I haven't emailed him saying, "Man, thank you for including me in this, because this is something that I really needed right now, and I wish that I could share, because everything, you know, we can't share anything. Everything's very private and everything else, and so
HIPAA laws.
Yeah, well, and so I wish that I could share some of the essays from some of these high school seniors from high schools around the city. I wish I could share some of them with you, because they were so. First of all, I'm thinking, damn, this kid's in high school, and they're this impressive, and they have these ideas, and these dreams, and this record of. That's what really struck me, the record of community service. It's so many, there's, so the bottom line, there's so many great young people and young minds in this city and in this community. And it also was very sad for me because they're high school seniors, and I'm reminded, and a lot of them played sports. A lot of them had a long list of extracurricular activities. And I'm thinking, man, all these kids, and try to put yourselves in their shoes, right? All these kids are seniors, and they're missing out on their final season of high school sports, whatever sport they played. They're missing out on that final play that they were going to be in. They're missing out on any of the extracurricular activities to finish off their high school career. They're going to be missing out walking across the stage, and especially for reading some of the essays about some kids. And look, it was like that for me. Neither of my grandparents were given the opportunity to graduate from high school because, you know, they were both from Mexico, and they came here after they had, you know, as young adults to this country. My mom and dad were not given the opportunity to graduate from high school. Later on in life, they both were able to obtain their GEDs. I was the first, you know, kid in my immediate family. My parents didn't graduate high school, and my grandparents didn't. And so that was a big deal. That was a huge deal for us. Because my dad left home when he was 14 years old. My mom left home when she was 15 years old. They weren't, you know, let alone not graduate high school. I mean, they had to find places to live and support themselves and to take care of themselves before they were, before they were Phil's age, and Phil's 16 years old. And that, I always think about that, what my mom and dad went through to try to get ahead in life. And so that really gave me pause again to think about what these kids are missing. And there's a lot of people that are giving up a lot of things. Trust me, I get it. But my heart really goes out to the seniors in high school that are missing their proms, that are missing their graduation, that are missing their final seasons, that are missing the play that they were going to be in. They're missing anything that they do. And it's not just sports. Because to read about that and how important graduating high school was for so many kids, they were going to be the first kids to graduate, and they still are going to be the first kids to graduate from high school, you know. And then reading another, you know, about another kid, about how excited he was for, his senior year playing baseball, and it just different things like that. I just wanted to mention that on the show today. Number one, how inspired I was, but number two, remember those kids that this was supposed to be a great finish of their senior year to their career in high school, and they're missing out on it. And we all loved, I think, being able to graduate and walk across the stage and do whatever we did our senior years. Imagine having that taken away from you. And I know there's other things that are worse than that, and everyone's facing their own very difficult situations, but I found that to be something that I really that was very meaningful to me to be a part of that over the weekend. Nate and Jake.
That's really cool that you're doing that. And I think we should all come to a point where we just acknowledge up front that there's other things that are worse or more important than whatever it is we're about to talk about that somebody's missing out on. But that doesn't mean that it sucks any less for those kids. You know, I mean, there's other things that are worse, but that's terrible. It sucks. It just does that a kid's going to be robbed of his chance to graduate officially, have that official moment of graduating high school, or the kids that are in the same situation with college. You know, there's going to be a lot of people, like you said, that they're going to be, that would have been graduating college this May, first person in their family to graduate college, and they're not going to get to do that. And we've talked about it with student athletes that, you know, have had a chance to maybe be the, you know, be like those UMKC women who had a chance to be the first team in the history of their school to play in the NCAA tournament, taken away from them. And You know, those things all that, that's, yeah, there might be things that, that are even worse, but it doesn't mean that sucks any less, because it does. It stinks. And I'm glad you're doing that, man. That's cool. And hopefully it's giving you something. I think we all need some things right now to focus on that are positive, to uplift ourselves and to distract us from paying attention to all that other stuff. So I'm sure that was probably something that you really enjoyed over the weekend.
It was very, again, I go back to the word, very inspirational. And Jake, you were a more decorated high school athlete than any of us. I mean, imagine if that just would have been stolen from you. Senior year.
No, I can't even imagine. You know, I was fortunate. I played a fall sport, so I mean, it is obviously it affects seniors that are playing winter and spring sports. But I couldn't even imagine not having that missed penalty kick my senior year to ruin the streak of. I can't even fathom not sharing those moments with my friends, those memories that I have now that I cherish. So, I mean, my senior year, it was the only year that I ever, you know, played competitively on the same soccer team as my younger brother at a varsity level. That was awesome. That was something that looking back at my whole college and high school and youth career, those games are some of the most fond and just memories that I cherish, and just to think about the kids that can't make those memories. No, they're going to make different ones, and they're going to have different stories, and everybody has their chance to make this bad situation into a positive one. But that it's no fun when you're going through it. That sucks big time. So I feel for that. And go ahead. Nope.
Sorry, Jake. I didn't
you're all, you're
you.
All good,
go
buddy.
Ahead,
go.
Well, this just you got me thinking about something that happened in our house yesterday.
Stop talking. Go ahead.
I really feel bad. I didn't mean it. I thought you were done with your point, Jake.
I just like talking over everyone. No, go ahead.
Something happened at our house yesterday that hit me pretty hard in my chest. I don't know about you guys. We've been on Sundays. We've been watching Mass online, and it's really eerie to watch a church service, whatever religion you are. I'm assuming a lot of people are doing the same thing. You're watching your church service in an empty building right now. And but when they were getting to the Eucharist part of the service yesterday, my 7-year-old daughter Ophelia just started crying, and she was crying and crying. And I looked over, and she had tears running down her face, and I said, "What? Ophelia, what's the matter?" Well, she was supposed to have her first communion this month. And, you know, we've been going to the classes and doing all this stuff. If you're Catholic, you know that. You go through, it's a big step in your progression as a Catholic. And you guys know you've been through it. And she got to watch her brother do it a couple years ago. And what a big deal the whole family made out of it. And I hadn't really talked to her about it to understand how excited she was for that. Until she's sitting there at the kitchen table, just crying. And she said, I'm not going to be able to have my first communion. And man, I was like, I just had to try to project to her, hey, sweetheart, you are going to have your first communion. You know, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen when we thought it was. And the only reason I share that is because of what you're talking about. Like how many people there's stuff like that for people all over the place. That's getting taken away from them right now. And I don't think my daughter probably had even really thought about how excited she was for First Communion. Because to be honest, my kids usually complain about going to church and going to the faith family formation meetings and things like that. They don't look forward to it. But I don't think she'd ever had the chance to stop and think about what if she didn't get to do it. And, you know, that's a perspective setter too, maybe for a lot of us on things too, that maybe we've been taking for granted lately, or things that we haven't appreciated as much in the past. That old adage, you don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, things being taken away from us that I think a lot of us are going to really appreciate a lot more once we go back. But anyways, I was just thinking of that moment came to my mind, Stephen, when you were talking about, and Jake, when you were talking about these milestones that people are missing out on getting to be a part of right now.
But why did you interrupt Jake is the question I have for you.
Because I couldn't wait to tell my own story. My story is important.
Here's my story. I officially do not quite understand fifth grade math. So that was that was established over the weekend. Because I tried and I was making some headway, and then they changed the page, turned the page, and then it got harder, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and do this for you. Who's going to learn? Not you.
Show me how you did the work there. Right. Now, explain to me how you did it.
My problem is I can get to the answer, but I show no work. Right. And that's always been my problem. I don't show the work. I just don't. I could do stuff better in my head. And
right.
That was very demoralizing for me as I was, Dad, sit down and help me finish.
What fifth grade math even look like? Is it like, are they doing long division? Is it fractions? What
fractions?
Like,
we're working with some fractions and some things.
No thanks. I mean, you're past the multiplication tables. That's like second, third grade stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. No, it just made my head hurt.
Fractions.
You know? I'm just not there. So
that's all right.
Hey, Phil, come in here.
Right.
Phil.
See?
Hey, Phil.
That's problem solving, though.
What do you say there, buddy?
That's problem solving.
You sit right here, and your sister has some,
right.
several questions for you.
Your birthday is next week, buddy, so better sit down there. Better sit down there if you want your birthday present.
You know, I feel so bad I didn't have a birthday present for Susan. But, you know, here I am, obviously.
You're the present.
So yeah, still yet to be unwrapped.
Yeah,
still just waiting for her to unwrap her present.
It kind of makes you feel like she's gonna return it.
But I did get a present for Phil, so I'm excited. I actually have a present for him that I've been hiding. That I'm gonna give him. I'm not going to say it on the air because I'm afraid some of his friends listen to the show and it'll get back to him. I'll tell you guys off the air, and I'll tell you when I give it to him. I'm very excited. I'm very excited that I was able, for once in my life, I got a present way ahead of time, and now it's gonna pay off. So, Nate, go ahead.
That's awesome. When you were saying that about not being able to help with fifth grade math, I had one of those days on Friday, man, where I just felt like, here's how I felt, and I always share this because I've talked to enough people that I know that at least some of them feel the same way. Up until this point in my life, I thought I was a pretty good employee, like a decent worker. I thought I was a pretty good husband, maybe not. But
so glad you thought so.
Yeah, you know, you got to fool yourself. You know, you got to just trick yourself. Yeah, I'm a pretty good husband, pretty good dad. I'm decent at being the fun dad. I'm decent at being the teaching dad. But you know what? I think it was because I was able to fake my way through it for like a few hours at a time and then get away from whatever it is. You know, like, yeah, I only have to be a dad for a certain number of hours during the day. I only have to be an employee for a certain number of hours in the day. I only have to be a husband for a certain number of hours in the day. And like now I'm home
all
day.
Wait a minute. What the hell does that mean? You were only a husband a couple of hours of the day.
Well, I mean, I'm only around my wife a few hours a day.
Yeah, you better be a husband 24/7, buddy.
That's a state of mind.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right.
But this ain't one of those things that you got to be in the same zip code or nothing. It's always.
Right, right, right.
Huh?
Yeah, I like what
but
you're
I
saying.
Just,
what? Are you sure?
Area code or something. I don't know.
I feel like I'm getting exposed as a fraud on all fronts right now.
Agreed.
Sometimes, like,
is it area code or zip code? Jake?
It should be area code.
Area code? All right, well.
Different state of mind, huh?
Wow, this got real.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I'm in the same zip code, area code, everything, pretty much all day. But I don't know. I just feel like it's like the utility player in baseball. Like if you put them in the lineup like 2-3 days a week, you can get some real production out of them. But if you play them every day, they start to get overexposed. I feel like I'm getting overexposed. I feel like I'm getting exposed as a fraud at home right now.
You're Dan Sorensen,
you know, really
in the secondary.
Good of a dad, after all.
Dan Sorensen is a special teams player, and in spots can be a very effective player. He was a far more effective player and made huge plays, even though he did step up when Juan Thornhill went down. But he made like the brilliant play on the fake punt, that super duper call that
about that interception in the in Mexico on Philip Rivers to end the game.
He made when he wasn't overexposed.
Right. Limited usage.
And he played his role. Right?
Right.
Like the year before, that wasn't the case. Last year, he was much better, and you saw why he proved his value to the team. So basically, you're Dan Sorensen.
I'll take that.
You're Dirty Dan.
Super Bowl champ Dan Sorensen.
Right.
But right now I'm Dan Sorensen under Bob Sutton. I'm being asked to do too much.
Shotgun snap. Rivers with backside pressure from Frank Clark steps up, floats it towards Eckler at the goal line. It's intercepted. Daniel Sorensen with the interception in the end zone, and that'll seal the win for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Dirty Dan.
I like that. On that note, let's take a break. When we come back, Daniel Jeremiah updated his top 50. NFL draft prospects. The NFL draft prospect rankings 4.0. So we've read plenty of mock drafts, but this is a little different. First of all, we all agree that Daniel Jeremiah is one of the best when it comes to trusting his opinion about prospects. Yes, would you say top three?
Top three for sure.
One of the go-to guys.
He's the bottom one. He's bottom three at returning my text messages right now.
Right. Well, that's. You guess what? You're bottom three of returning anyone's text messages. So there you go.
I mean, come on.
That's right back at you. What guy, what analyst do you trust most when you see their mock draft or their prospect rankings?
Probably his. Right now, I mean, Mayock used to be my go-to guy, right? I used to think Mike Mayock had the best draft analysis of anybody out there, and now he's for the bad guys. Now he's the GM.
Jeremiah now?
Jeremiah, I think, is number one for me now.
Over Kuiper or over?
Yes, way ahead of
him. What about McShay?
No, he's ahead of McShay and Kuiper for me.
Wow. All right.
He's number. He's got to be at the top of the list. Number one for me.
What about Charlie Casserly? Is he right up there with?
No, he's not. He's
Is he number two?
Nope. Nope.
Why not? Three?
No, I think the game I passed him by a little bit.
I don't.
It's a little bit.
You. What about
league,
you, Nate?
And
who's
the
your
league.
Favorite?
Daniel Jeremiah.
All right,
copycat.
I listened to that Move the Sticks podcast with him and Bucky Brooks religiously, and I love the way they break things down.
I like Bucky too.
I've watched college football. Yeah, he's good. And I like when they talk about college football, actually, because they talk about it more from like who's a good pro prospect standpoint than breaking down like which team's going to win which game. I watch college football differently because I listen to those guys. So, like, a lot of the guys, like that Jordan Love, we joke about my thoughts on Jordan Love, but I watched him play that game against Wake Forest this year specifically because I was listening to that podcast and they were talking about what they thought of him and how big of a prospect he was going to be. And I'm like, man, I'm going to watch this guy play, see what they called him Patrick Mahomes. Well, Bucky Brooks called him, like, Mahomes Jr. or something like that. And I was like, well, I better watch this guy. But no, I like those guys. I like the way they give a good perspective. It doesn't mean they're always right. I mean, no scout is always right, but they give you a good window into what NFL personnel guys are looking for and how they evaluate things. I like it. They like to go back in time and they'll talk about like they pull up like this is what I wrote up on Russell Wilson before the draft, and this is what I was wrong about. This is what I was right about. They don't sit there and try to tell you they're right all the time. It's really interesting to me when they do that stuff. I like them both a lot. I really like Daniel Jeremiah.
So we'll go through his top 50 prospects.
Yeah.
That he just updated yesterday. So I thought that you might like that, Jake, and see what he thinks
about
some of the prospects.
You know what? That's a good question, though. Who are the top draft guys that do mock drafts around the NFL leading up to this draft coming ahead? I mean, I love Evan Silva.
I want you to do a mock draft.
Of mock draft guys?
Of the mock draft guys.
I can do that.
A top 10. And can we get get the fantasy alert sirens? the fantasy update, fantasy impact, well, fantasy alert.
I feel like
from Jake Pounders.
I feel like today would have been the NCAA national championship game. So I feel like maybe the upset sounder, the upset special, the
all right.
Upset special. Upset special.
Today would have been an historic NCAA tournament championship game between Gonzaga and Dayton. Unbelievable matchup. Gonzaga and Dayton would have taken place.
Wrong again.
Let's hear what Jake has to say. Now, of course, somebody has to get hurt. We don't want that for him to be really, really good. But what about stashing a fantasy dark horse tight end, Jake Pounders, with the Chiefs signing veteran Ricky Seals-Jones to be part of the tight end group and maybe the number two guy behind Travis Kelce? Your thoughts?
I like it. The guy's got a lot of talent. Now he's struggled to stay healthy the whole time he's been in the NFL, but I like it. I mean, he's proven that he can actually make plays in the NFL. He's an athletic guy, but he's never played a full season, and that's the concerning part, I think, for me. But if the guy is available and healthy, I mean, I think he's a legitimate number two tight end in this league, and I don't think the Chiefs had that on their roster last year. I don't, and especially with the direction this league is going, where a lot of teams have two really good tight ends. Now, not every team has, obviously, a Travis Kelce type, right? You look around the league, and there's only a handful of guys that do what Travis Kelce does. But to put a legitimate number two tight end in that locker room on that roster, I like it. I think it's under the radar deal that could pay off down the road.
Let's get a round of applause for me for picking up Ricky Seals-Jones after week four, I believe. Remember when Cleveland won at Baltimore 40-25?
I do.
Remember that one?
Early in the year?
He had three catches for 82 yards and a touchdown. And so I latched on to him. And then the next week, he had one target for no catches and no yards. And so that was,
Doesn't matter.
But then the following week, three for 47 and a touchdown against Seattle. And then over the next five games, he had a total of two catches. And so before he exploded with his two touchdown performance against Arizona in week 15. So four touchdowns. But I was very happy. I was very excited after my week four pickup of Ricky Seals-Jones. And then he did almost nothing after that. So it's great moments in fantasy football history there. But I thought enough of them to pick them up. So, Nate, your thoughts on Ricky Seals-Jones signing with the Chiefs?
I like it. He's averaged, about 2.5 touchdowns a season over the last 3 years. That's something tells me that he'll do just as well as that in the Chiefs uniform.
He had four last year.
I think it's an upgrade over Blake Bell.
But Deion Yelder, are you giving up on Deion Yelder, or do you like him?
Not really. I just don't think he's that fast, so I don't think he's much of a weapon, personally.
Someone just voted for Dan Shonka at Our Lads. I remember that Aaron Swartz is a big fan of Dan Shonka with Our Lads. That's a good mock draft guy. I believe he correctly predicted Larry Johnson to the Chiefs.
Oh, boy. I do remember that.
Well, it wasn't his fault what happened. Maybe for a while, that was a fine pick.
Yeah.
After Dick Vermeil told him that it's time to take off the diapers. You know? Then he got things working.
And it's time, young man. It's time to take your diapers off and go to work, you know?
So Ricky Seals-Jones has been added to the tight end group for your Kansas City Chiefs after they created some salary cap room with restructuring the one-year deal for Sammy Watkins. And so Ricky Seals-Jones is the new tight end for the Chiefs. We'll take a break, and we'll get Daniel Jeremiah's the updated top 50 NFL draft prospects right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right. Let's get to Daniel Jeremiah's updated top 50 prospects in the upcoming NFL draft. Number one, Chase Young. He holds on to the number one rank, the edge rusher from Ohio State. Number two, not a whole lot of change in his top five. Number two is Joe Burrow. Number three, local product Isaiah Simmons, we're all enamored with. He describes Isaiah Simmons as an extremely versatile athletic defensive chess piece, a long-rangey athlete who lined up at linebacker over the slot and in the deep middle for Clemson thanks to his diverse and unique skill set. Simmons is built for today's NFL, and his role will change week to week depending on the opponent. And so local product Isaiah Simmons ranked as the number three overall prospect in Daniel Jeremiah's top 50. As we go a little bit deeper, the next quarterback on the list, number six, Tua out of Alabama. And he says Tua is the ultimate point guard. If he can remain healthy, he has the potential to be one of the NFL's most efficient passers, but obviously the health is the issue. As we go deeper, who do you think the next quarterback is that is ranked, and where is it?
I would say it's probably Herbert. I don't know if I'd put him in the... He's probably in the top 25. I don't know if he makes the top 15 or top 20. Let's just say like in between 20. Let's say 25. 25 would be...
Nate?
If it's even Justin Herbert. It's either Love or Herbert, I think.
What's Nate say?
Nate?
I don't think Nate says anything. Justin Herbert.
I just found out that it helps if my mic's on. I just gave like three answers, and I was like, why won't these guys listen to me?
Right.
God, Jake right. Just.
Because you're not talking.
Getting back to me. Getting back at me for interrupting him earlier.
I made sure I was like, yep, mic's on. Nate's just not there.
Yeah, turns out I got to turn my own mic on. I think it's either Herbert or Love. So I'll say Love because Jake said Herbert, and I'll say 32.
Number 20 is Justin Herbert. Number 23 is Jordan Love.
Both in top 25.
Okay.
Here's
something to the discussion point we were having last week about DeAndre Swift. And as Todd McShay said, if a prospect that is ranked as high as DeAndre Swift is, and McShay has him, I think, in his top 15, and if he falls to the Chiefs, it'll be hard for the Chiefs to pass on him. Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked as the number 16 prospect overall. And he writes, Swift is a compact running back with excellent patience, vision, and quickness. On inside runs, he lets things develop before exploding to the line of scrimmage. He has vision to see and set up second and third level defenders. He has make-miss ability in tight quarters, prefers to drop his shoulder to see contact, enough speed to capture the corner on outside runs. He's a cradle catcher in the passing game, but it's effective. In pass protection, he likes to cut block, and he's reliable. Overall, Swift has a similar skill set to Josh Jacobs, and I expect comparable results on the next level. If anyone thinks the Chiefs should pass on him with number 32, they should probably pull their head out of their ass.
Answer my text, you jack-off.
Wow, that was a that final really sentence harsh. Here seemed awfully specific to.
Huh? Oh man, was my mic just on?
No, I mean that final sentence from Daniel Jeremiah almost seemed like he's talking to you, but
right.
Huh? Well, that changed your mind at all?
I don't.
Jeremiah has him in the number 16.
No, it doesn't change my mind one bit.
All right.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, Nate. Come on.
No.
Dude. No what?
I was. Well, I don't think.
No. Just no. All right, Steven, no.
No,
but I mean, you're on board with drafting him,
right?
So
your answer would be yes. Still think you should take him?
You still think you should take him or not?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
No,
I think if it depends on who else is available,
right?
But I would rather have him than say my fourth choice at defensive back. Yeah.
What about your second choice at linebacker?
That's a hell of a hypothetical. How good I think that. Right.
Yeah. I guess it depends on how good I think that linebacker is going to be.
Let's not think about what you think. Brett Veach is strapped with that choice. His second best linebacker on his board or the first running back on his board.
What about the comparison to Josh Jacobs, who was taken number 24 overall last year? There's a pretty good running back that was taken towards the end of the first round.
Yeah.
Jake?
Yeah, at 24. That's almost 8 picks higher, right?
Well, it's exactly 8 picks higher.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like we have to guesstimate there. It actually is.
It's almost.
Give or take.
Hey, it's pretty close to being 8 picks. Oh, I mean, you know. Is that right?
Huh? It might be 8 full picks. No, I just,
what if he was Josh Jacobs? No, still no.
Well, the thing is that the Chiefs will not. He won't be Josh Jacobs because the Chiefs don't need a Josh Jacobs. They don't need that kind of production from that position.
So I actually was listening to one of those Move the Sticks podcasts, and Daniel Jeremiah he was one of the first I heard talk about the benefit of drafting a running back in the first round, getting that extra year. But his point was that basically if you're going to draft a running back, you actually want to draft the running back to be on a team that's already good around him, that has good supporting pieces, because you only get so many carries out of that running back. You know, that's my big thing is like this, you know, running backs, you got them for 4 to 5 years of really top production. And then after that, you probably that's all you're going to get. And so if you draft a running back, say like Saquon Barkley got drafted by the Giants, and they've already used up 2 years of those carries for him on teams that suck. Whereas if you are a good team or a team that has the ability to win, you can use those carries to help you win games and actually get production out of them while they're in the prime of their career. So I actually think the Chiefs would be perfectly positioned to draft a running back like that, because does anybody doubt if they draft a good running back that he's not going to put up serious numbers like right off the bat with this offense?
I do.
You don't think he would?
I don't know. I mean, is he splitting carries with Williams? Is he just going to come in and they're going to anoint him starter? I mean, I don't, you know. I mean, what did you think of Thompson going into last season? Didn't you think Thompson was going to have I mean, you were all over that guy. You drafted him in your fantasy football league, right?
Yeah, what round did they get him in?
The sixth?
I was all over him because they didn't have a reliable every down running back. LeSean McCoy was old.
I'm just saying.
And I was right about that. I wasn't right about Darwin Thompson because I thought Darwin Thompson would be the best candidate to take over those carries. But I was right about LeSean McCoy. He was old, and he was and the Chiefs gave up on him before the season was over.
Well, they gave up to him when he stopped being productive. That's when they gave up on him. He had some decent production early in the season. He did.
Right, because every running back that plays for Andy Reid seems to have decent production if they put him in the game.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You don't know he's going to have crazy numbers because you don't know what his role is going to be. I mean, Damian Williams is still there. Darrell Williams is still there. Even if he's good. Even if he's really good. You don't know what they're going to what role they're going to use him in. I mean, you've never seen
what,
go ahead.
I saw what Kareem Hunt did in Andy Reid offense.
Yeah, with Alex Smith playing quarterback. With Alex Smith playing quarterback.
Well, I think that Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback.
For what, 11 games? He had good production. He was a stud. Like, but they didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Incredible. Well, if they had Kareem Hunt at the end of the season, maybe they would have.
Maybe.
So
they draft Swift and Swift gets hurt just like Kareem Hunt did. The point is that you can't just say, yeah, they're going to draft a kid in the first round and he's going to be a stud and they're going to insert him and he's just going to take off.
if he's good, that I believe firmly that would happen. If he's a legit top 16 caliber player,
so you think they're just
and
gonna,
the best running back
they're
in this
just gonna
draft,
go away from Damian Williams. They draft a kid who's really, really good. They're just going to go away from him.
I'm not saying they're going to go away from him, but I'm saying that I think that this next guy would, the new guy would come in and put up really good numbers, and Damian Williams would probably become more of a backup because Damian Williams has never been able to stay healthy in an NFL season.
I'm just saying they don't. You don't see running backs in Andy Reid's system get 25 to 30 catches like Saquon Barkley does. That you're just not going to see that.
I feel like LeSean McCoy put up really good numbers for Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and I feel like Kareem Hunt put up really good numbers for Andy Reid in Kansas City.
About that, Jake?
Yep.
Well,
you feel like he did. What are the numbers? What are the numbers?
Why is your
I feel
just,
like I,
yep.
LeSean McCoy had some really good numbers in Buffalo. I mean, I just, it's, you know. You're not going to make me budge on drafting a first-round running back. It's just you're not. And that 1 year extra, what? So you can have a seventh year instead of a sixth year? I mean, you can still franchise a guy for 2 years, and you can get 6 years out of a first, you know, out of a second or third-round running back.
In 11 games in 2018, Hunt had 824 yards rushing and seven touchdowns and 26 carries for 378 yards. And seven touchdowns, and so he was on pace to have, Jesus, 20 touchdowns, more than 20 touchdowns?
His rookie year, he had over 1,300 yards rushing and 455 yards receiving.
And so he would have, I mean, 600 yards receiving, maybe 1,200 yards rushing and 20 touchdowns. That's what he was on pace for. And that's pretty good.
It's monsters.
Right.
What round did they draft him in?
Third round.
Mm-hmm. So I'd love for him to
because
go take a third
round draft.
Because
he had character issues, and that's why they had to kick him off the team.
Is this the only position he refused to draft in the first
round? Yes. Yes. The only one.
Oh, so you draft a kicker. What a dumbass.
Well, what if the guy's just completely nails? I'm all for it.
No, I like Butker. Butker's kicking 77-yard field goals. Well. Gets no one over the weekend.
Yes, outside of kicker, punter, running back.
Okay. Well, you know what? Specify then. Well. Huh? Okay.
My bad.
Bad. You're bad. So not even Daniel Jeremiah can get you on the DeAndre Swift bandwagon.
No, he's probably not going to be there anyway, so it won't matter.
Well, so now you're going. Now you're going to go with that. Well, he's not going to be there anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, I think somebody will probably like him before they get. I mean, it's been a while since there hasn't been a single running back taken in the first round, isn't it?
Since Nate won't ask it, I'll ask it.
All right.
If you could get Kareem Hunt without the character issues. With the 32nd pick in the first round, would you do that?
Nope.
Wow.
No, man. I'm not budging. No.
Do you think that would make the Chiefs better?
I don't know. What else is available? Is a linebacker that's going to be a centerpiece for the middle of your defense for the next 10 to 12 years available?
I don't know if that's available with the 32nd pick overall, but
might be.
It.
Right. Might be.
Doesn't seem like that's...
All I know is that you're not going to draft a running back and have him be on your roster for 10 or 12 years. You draft another position and get a guy who could be.
Right. Or could not be.
Right, absolutely. But the potential at any other position is a lot higher.
In 2013, LeSean McCoy had 1,607 rushing yards and 539 receiving yards for the Eagles under Andy Reid.
It's great.
In 13?
2013.
Now remind me, if you will, please, where LeSean McCoy was drafted. Oh, you want me to help you out? It's second round.
Well, and that settles it. They would have been really mad at themselves if they had gotten him in the first round.
Was it Reed with the Chiefs in 13, though?
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
Don't beg my pardon. I'm just trying to keep things even here. So you would take a running back in the second round, though, for sure, huh?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
The kid from LSU.
Give me him. I'll take a second round. Yeah, I do.
What if there's a great linebacker there, though?
Go with the running back. I'll go with the running back in the second round.
No, no running back.
Yeah.
No, you can't have one.
Well, I don't want one. I want one. I'll go. I like, you know what? I'll take the Williams brothers.
Oh, gee, you like Darrell Williams?
Yeah.
Forgotten man. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Mr. Gary Lezak. Gary, we had some interesting weather over the weekend, but it looks like it's going to get nice and warm coming up very soon, Gary.
Yeah, tomorrow. It's going to get nice and warm. It'll be 78 degrees tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, yeah. What about today, though?
It looks cloudy most of the day, getting close to 70, 67, 68, or 69, so somewhere in that range. I'm with Jake on this last long discussion you guys just had.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I know. Kareem Hunt blew his opportunity.
I've never felt better about my stance.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Kareem Hunt blew his opportunity in many respects. You know, he only fumbled, what, one time? First time he ever had the ball? And so he's durable. He's good. He's not great. And there's a lot of running backs that are, similar. So, but everyone's different. But Damian Williams was amazing. I mean, granted, he's injury prone and you need to have somebody to intersperse and go in there and just in case he does get injured. But, second round, third round running backs can be as effective as any of these top running backs that get chosen. So it depends on the system, and the Chiefs system is incredible. So they're going to make running backs that have good hands and and Patrick Mahomes is going to make you awfully good anyway. So I agree with Jake. You don't get a running back in the first round.
Jake, your thoughts about Gary agreeing with you?
Well, he's the most accurate forecast in the Kansas City metro area. So, I mean, the guy's accurate. So, football takes are great too.
Wow!
It's interesting.
Thank you for the compliment.
I call it like I see it.
Do you?
And by the way, over the weekend, the 1988 Oklahoma-Kansas National Championship game was on the air, I think, Saturday. My neighbors clearly let me know about it. So I hadn't, it's hard to watch. You know how it is. You don't like to watch a game that your team loses in. It's hard to watch it ever again. So I literally have not watched that game, and I didn't watch most of this game. I did get down to the end because I wanted to see what would happen to see if I was right. And the phantom foul on Stacey King against Danny Manning when the Sooners had the ball. The referees decided that game. It's too bad because 14 seconds left, 79-77. Dave Seeger's got the ball, 14 seconds. Mookie Blaylock, Ricky Grace, Dave Seeger, one of the guys would have taken a three-point shot to win or lose the game at the buzzer, and the referees robbed the Sooners of that opportunity. I wouldn't have minded losing that way, but not the phantom foul. The ball got knocked away from Danny Manning. There may have been a foul, maybe, but the ball was already way far away from the play in Dave Seeger's hands when somewhat of a foul may have happened, but somewhat of a foul. That was tough. Watched it. Kansas won again somehow, and so then I had to immediately go watch the Super Bowl, and I felt a lot better.
Were you guys aware of how that played out? Did you remember that, fellas?
You remember that way?
I totally thought the refs handed the game to Kansas, and I'm glad for it.
Did.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. I love the fact that they did because that means KU won the national championship and Oklahoma got robbed of their only legitimate chance to ever win one. So thank you to the rest for making that happen. It was awesome.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you. Thank you.
I think it also, I watched that game back as well. It's the second time I've watched that game since going under quarantine, because once I watched it with my son on DVD, and then it was on TV again, like you said, this weekend, so we went ahead and watched it again. It was amazing how many players for KU that were not stars played completely out of their mind in that game.
I know.
I don't know if Chris Piper or Clint Normore missed a shot.
It's crazy. It was really, you know, they were focused. Give them credit, you know.
At one point late in the game, they showed the graphic. KU was shooting like 66% from the floor for the game.
I know. It's crazy.
And why don't you ask Nate if they if you watched the Kansas-Kentucky game from 2012 that was on TV yesterday?
That was on right before the OU-KU game. Yeah, so the very end of that thing.
Jeff Withey looked like he was he looked like he was never going to score against Anthony Davis if they had played for 5 days straight.
Wow.
Oh, he would have scored in 5 days. Golly.
No. That was a mismatch.
It was
a mismatch.
What do you mean?
It looked
good on paper.
I also showed the very heartbreaking national championship game against Syracuse. Was on yesterday or Saturday as
well.
That
really was. That was bad. So, Carmelo Anthony in that game, right?
Yep.
No, wrong. It's called the free throw line in that game.
Yeah.
Well, that was...
All right, there's tough losses. But, hey, you guys got three national championships. Be happy.
Five.
So, weather-wise, there's this thing called 41 Action Weather Academy. And the kids need to join. We have 1,069 kids in class right now. So 1,069 members. Please join. Go to Facebook. Look for the group 41 Action News Weather Academy and join up. Our topic this past week has been clouds. We have a cloud chart from It's a Sunny Life with Sunny showing us all the clouds from that wonderful children's story. And I posted that cloud chart again online today, but go to the 41 Action News Weather Academy. Join this week. Lindsay Anderson on Wednesday is going to introduce the topic. I believe she's going into thunderstorms, and so we're going to go into that next topic.
Explain to people how do they do this again.
Go to 41 Action News Weather Academy. So you go to Facebook, and then you search for 41 Action News Weather Academy. I just tweeted out the link. And then you join the group, and you then will get the lesson plans. You'll hear from us. We'll get interaction with the kids. And then tonight, or this week on 41 Action News, we'll try to show some pictures and videos of the kids. If the kids could just ask a question, like Gary, Lindsay, Gerard, Jeff, what type of clouds are these? Or I have this question about something, and we'll answer your question. Or you can have the kids, hey, look outside right now. These are stratus clouds because there's almost no definition. And you can have the kids talk about what kind of clouds they are and what they mean in 30 seconds or less, because then we can show the really cuteness of the kids on the air. So we're looking for some videos this week. And so please send those in. In our group, 41 Action News Weather Academy.
Can I get on there and ask questions of Lindsay Anderson? Like, hey, Lindsay, why does Gary refuse to let you come on the Border Patrol? Would that be good or not?
In a video. I want that in a video.
Okay.
So you're allowed to post that.
Thank you.
Yeah, baby!
All right. She can't because of social distancing, Stephen.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Go.
You're welcome. Sorry about that. All right. Hope everyone has a great day. Expect cloudy skies today. 67 for the high. Tomorrow's high temperature is 78. The sun will come out. Tomorrow will be the warmest day of 2020 so far. So let's figure this out one day at a time. And I hope everyone has a great start to the day. I'm taking the dogs out for a walk. Here is our sponsor, Bob Hamilton Plumbing.
Thanks, Gary. Itchy skin, sniffles for days. Did you know indoor air can be more polluted than outdoor air? Call us today for more information on our indoor air quality products. Better call Bob.
What's going on there? What the hell was that?
My stupid computer went off.
Oh. Seems like it happens a lot. Maybe operator error is the...
No, never. I'm on point.
How are you, Jake? How you doing?
Fantastic.
Sounds like everything's coming up roses now. Gary Lezak agrees with you. Weather's going to be good. You're hitting on all cylinders. Right?
Yeah.
Take a break.
Get to our 8 o'clock guest at 8:20.
Sam Mellinger. It's an 8:20 guest, as it says on the rundown. So, well, on time.
Nailed it again.
Don't know what day it is. Don't know what time it is.
WHB.
What's new?